Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
It is exciting. It's 2015, by the way, if you didn't know that. Hopefully you signed your checks right today, because I always think, you know, the whole year it's 2014. Then you got to remember it changed. But it is 2015, and I'm excited to be here. Really excited about what God is going to do this year. So it's going to be a really incredible year. I'm already losing my voice. But I did want to just thank Justin Crenshaw for being here. Justin is just a great friend, a great brother. He serves so much with his heart in the church in Lexington. He gives all of his heart to helping people and loving people. And he's just an amazing man of God. I wish he could stay here longer than 3 days, but we'll take him while we got him. But thank you so much for helping out today. Let's go ahead. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, God, just for the ways that you love us so very much. And God, we are here today to really worship you, because you are great, because you are everything, Father. And Father, I pray that today that we can start as our first service of the year, God, that you can really point our hearts in the right direction. Father, really help us, God. We thank you so much for the last year. We thank you for all the incredible things you've done in our lives, in our personal lives, in our family here in the church. And Father, we thank you for those that made Jesus their Lord. And Father, we're just so grateful for all you've done last year. But God, we even know that this year, help us to have faith to believe that you're going to do even greater things in this next year. God, we love you. We ask that your spirit really guide us and lead us today. Please be with all of our campus students. As we look around, we're a little less than normal. I pray that you help each one of our campus students who are out of town to really just stay strong in their faith, to really be in their word this morning, to be at church this morning, wherever they may be, God. And Father, really help us, God, to really come back next week and the week after as a united family, stronger than ever, God. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so it is a new year. And so hopefully you guys are very excited. I love New Year's, because it's kind of a time to kind of restart. You know, it doesn't really matter what happened last year. All that matters is what's happening this year. And how many of you guys came up with some New Year's resolutions? Oh, two, three people, four people. How many? Okay, let's not call them resolutions. How many of you have goals for this year?
Amen.
Okay, there's a few more. Okay, that's good. We all want to have some kind of goals, not really just for the year, all the time. But some of the things that I've been really praying for this year is I want to have a much stronger prayer life. You know, I feel like 2014 was good, but I want 2015 to be even so much better in my prayer life. I want to be very much more evangelistic this year. I want to get out into the streets. I want to tell a lot more people about Jesus. I want to tell a lot more people about the family that I have here in this church. And this family is only because of Jesus. And I want to get out there. I have a personal goal also of being in the best shape of my life this year. And so I'm an old man. I know that. But I already started my P90, and I'm on my, I finished week one, and I'm still alive. And so that means I only have, 80 more days to go or so. Just really grateful to start the new year. And so we're going to be talking today about giving God our best, giving our first fruits, giving God our best in 2015. You know, I don't know how about for you, but New Year's comes around every year. And I've had a new year now for the last 45 years of my life, right? And so every year you can kind of think like, well, this year I'm going to change, and this year I'm going to do something great. And after a while, you do the same thing over and over. You kind of start feeling like, hey, you know, every year it's just New Year's. What a big deal. And even as a Christian, I've been a Christian now since 1990. 70. And so that's been quite a few years. This year will be coming up to 25 years of being a Christian. And I've been, as a Christian, I've started the year out every year with some big dreams. And sometimes things happen, sometimes they didn't. But after a while, they kind of just become a routine, like, oh, it's just another new year. It's just a, you know, it's just another year. But I don't want to make my Christian life routine. I don't want to be routine in really dreaming big dreams for my life. And, you know, I started thinking a little bit, like, what would it be like if I knew that 2015 was going to be the year that I met Jesus? What would I do differently this year? If I knew that this was the last year that I had on this earth, that this was the last year, how would I dream for this year? What would I be thinking? What would I be doing? How would my life change? Would I be the same person? I don't think so. You know, how would my prayer life be? You know, do you think I'd miss some days? And, you know, I'd probably be like, wow, this is my, I'm going to see Jesus soon. You know, how would my study of the Word be? You know, would I take it for granted? Would I really go after it? And I want you to think about that. Wonder if this were the last year of your life. Now, I'm not a prophet or anything like that, so I'm praying this won't be. I pray we all live long lives. But we never know. We never know when's going to be the last. And so we need to always be thinking like that. If 2015 is going to be the last year of my life, then I'm going to live it that way. If it's going to be 2016, I don't know when it's going to be, but every day I need to be living in such a way to please God. Amen. Because that's all life is about. We don't want our Christianity to be routine, right? I don't like routines. I mean, there's some things I do is routine. You know, even these exercise, I love exercising, but after about 3 months of listening to the same DVDs and doing my workout there, I'm like, the same thing again? Because routines just, they after a while, they don't really do anything for you. And so we've got to make sure that this 2015 is a year that we really do give our best, our first fruits to God. And I heard this lesson, so some of you guys may have even heard this lesson before, but this lesson I heard a while back, and I've thought about it for the past few months, and I thought, when would be a good time to really share this with the church, because it's really stuck with me, and so I want to share this. But I think all of us, we don't want to have a routine year. We don't want to be routine in our Christianity. And I think it's so easy sometimes. We get into this mentality that it's just a routine, and sometimes we even think that we come to church, you know, and God's just happy because we showed up. You know, I'm so awesome because I showed up to church today. And we start basing our Christianity on whether we showed up to church. And we start thinking like this guy, you know, like, look at here, you know, me, oh yeah. Like, you know, God, you got to be so fired up that I decided to come worship you today. And sometimes we think when we get into just routine, we start looking at our relationship with God as more about ourselves rather than who God is. You know, in churches all over the place, you know, I found this, and this is not even church around here. I just found this ad for a church, and they had this. It's a comfortable atmosphere, and you see the guy there with the cool clothes on, and, you know, he's got the coffee cup in his hand, probably got in the church coffee place, you know, we've created Christianity now to be just about ourselves because it's become this routine thing, and now we've got to try to lure people in by nice settings and different, you know, coffee shops and lounges and things like that. And sometimes we think this is the way church should be, like going to a rock concert. We think that the light should be shining on stage and there should be, you know, I remember years ago I'd walk into churches and if they didn't have a good band, I'd walk right out of there. Because I really thought that church was supposed to make me happy. Church was supposed to make me something awesome instead of me worshiping God who is awesome.
That's right.
You know, and then sometimes church can be like this. where when it becomes a routine, we start thinking that it's all about me and what I want. And you see these guys here, the first guy saying, you know, remember how much money I gave this week. You know, you better not say anything wrong. You know, make sure there's enough programs for my kids. You know, tell me again how much God wants to bless me. I like the next one there. He says, please refer to sin as bad choices. That way he won't be offended. Don't mention hell. It makes me feel uncomfortable. You know, we start thinking that this is what church and this is what our relationship with God should be like. And really, we're going to see today that God expects us to really come and worship him because of how awesome and because of how great he is, not because of what we can get. You are going to get things from your relationship with God. You are. You know, that's a given. But we don't come to church and we don't worship God just so that I can get a big head and tell everybody how great I am.
Right.
That's not what Christianity is supposed to be about. You know, and we make assumptions about God. We make assumptions that he's just going to be happy with the little bit that we give him. Kind of like whatever I've got left over, I'm going to give that to God and he's going to be so fired up. And we start assuming that God is just going to, he's going to be happy and really enjoy that he's just going to take anything that I give him. You know, some of us think of God like my dog. You know, some of you guys have been around my house. You guys have met Truck, my little corgi. And you come into my house, and when you're sitting, he doesn't really pay attention to you unless you're sitting at the table and you have food in your hand. And when you have food in your hand, he's there staring the whole time waiting for that food. And normally what I do is I'll eat everything and then I'll give him just a little bit of the scraps that were left over. And I say, here, Truck. And he takes it. And I look down and he's so fired up that I gave him just this little bit of a leftover. And sometimes we think that's how God is. We think that God is just going to take whatever little bit of leftovers we're going to give him. And he's just going to be happy about that. He's going to be happy with whatever is left over. And so we start assuming that God is going to be happy in this way. You know, some of us can think, well, you know, I'm here at church today. I'm not 100% committed, but at least I'm here. God should be happy about that one. You know, I prayed a few times this week, and I'm sure God is just happy that I took the time to give him 15 minutes this week. I'm sure he's going to be fired up about that. What do you expect me to do more? Because we think that God is going to be happy about these little scraps that we throw him. You know, I know lots of church songs. You know, how many of my friends know as many church songs as me? And I think that's what's going to make God happy. We think, I'm such a nice person. We have all these things in our head. And we assume that God is going to love the scraps that we throw to him. But I think we really need to go to the scriptures to find out what he says. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters is what God says and what the Bible says. And so I'm saying this today because I want this to be my New Year's. I'm saying we're going to look at some scriptures today because I want this to be the church New Year in 2015. Not just 2015. I want this to be every single day for the rest of your life. I want us to really think about these scriptures that we look at today. Look at Amos chapter 5 in verse 21. God says, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me, even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings. I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. I know some of you guys are trying to find Amos. We don't go there a whole lot. So, you know, you can write that note down. You can look up there. But it is in the Old Testament, just as a little hint. But, you know, we see here that sometimes we think God's going to be happy with everything that we give him. But we look at the scripture, and these people, they were given their offerings. They were doing some good things. And yet he says, your assemblies are a stench to me. A stench. That means that God said that you stink in front of me. You stink. See, our goal in our relationship with God, our goal in coming to church, our goal in the family that we have, our goal even for this next 2015 should not be how I can make myself happy, but it should be how we can see, have God look at us and be happy with what we're doing. Now, the goal of our lives should not be happiness, but the goal should be to please God. Now, this may sound weird to you, because I've learned all my life that it's I come to church and I'm going to be something, God's going to make me something awesome, and He will. I guarantee you, He will make you happy. He will fulfill every need that you have. But that's not the goal.
Right.
The goal of our lives should be to please God.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike.
Because God is great. God is incredible. You know, I want you to think, for those of you who have goals for this next year, you know, did you think like this, that my goal in all these things, whether it's your health or your study of the Bible or your reaching out or your relationships, did you put on all those and think through those, that all of those really just need to please God? Because I think sometimes we make goals in our life based on how we think we're going to be happy, not based on how we're going to please God. And again, the happiness will come from God. We don't need to worry about that. But we need to do everything we can to please the one that is great. So we're going to be looking today at Malachi, or for the Italians in the room, like Mike, it's Malachi. Okay, so turn to the book of Malachi, or Malachi, and we're going to be studying the book of Malachi today, and we're going to be looking about how much God really wants, what's going to please Him. The goal is not for me to be pleased. The goal is for me, in my walk with God, in my life, to please Him. Now, just a little bit of an idea. So Malachi was written somewhere some 400 or so years before Jesus, right? And so these people have been worshiping and serving God, and the priests were giving their sacrifices, and they've been doing this for a very long time, and people have told them from the time that these people were born till the time of this time when the book of Malachi was written, they've been told that the Messiah is going to come, and they've been told some prophecies and great things, and yet it must have seemed like it took so long. And you can imagine giving the sacrifices over and over. It must have got into this kind of a routine. And so what happened, what you'll see in the book of Malachi, is that there were a lot of the sacrifices were less than the choice pieces. They were giving things that were not their best to God, because their relationship with God just became routine. And so let's look, and we're going to be going through some scriptures, not the whole thing, but we're going through a lot of Malachi. So in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have I shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Now plead with God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hand. Will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? And we see here that these priests, there's some questions that are being asked here. You know, if I'm a father, where is the honor due me? And if I'm the master, where's the respect? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Where is the respect? And what these people were doing is they had to give sacrifice, right? And we see this all throughout the Old Testament. But their sacrifices, it says here that they were offering these blind animals for sacrifice. You know, they probably had a bunch of other animals. I mean, back then, raising animals was a pretty normal thing, right? We don't have cows in our backyard. Back then, they survived off the food that they made themselves. And part of this was having animals. And so, but they gave the animals, the ones for sacrifice, is they gave the ones that were blind. You know, can you imagine giving God, here's this blind animal. You know, it's walking around, bumping into things. And, you know, and this is the one we're going to give you, God. We're going to give you the diseased ones, the ones that were sick. You know, but that's not what God was wanting. That wasn't what he was wanting. God wasn't willing to take the seconds. He didn't want their leftovers. He wanted the ones that were the important animals. He wanted these people's best. You know, do we think about that in our relationship with God? Do we think about giving our absolute best? Or do we think that, you know, whatever I give God is going to be good enough? And whatever I give God, he's just got to be happy with, because that's all I got for you today, God. You know, but we see here that God was not so happy with this blind sacrifice and these diseased sacrifices that these priests were giving. We got to give our best. Let's go on with the story. Let's see what happens here. So I forgot to say this, but God accepts our best. Now I want to make it something clear here. I put on there, our best is different from perfection. Sometimes we can think, well, I'm never going to be perfect. That has nothing to do with you giving your best.
Right.
Giving your best means that you're giving your whole entire heart. You're giving your all to God.
That's right.
You will never give perfection to God, because none of us are perfect. We all sin. I'm a sinful person, and I'd be willing to bet we all are. And so, but that has nothing to do with whether or not we should give our best, our very, very best.
Yeah.
And whether that comes in the form of our time, whether that comes in the form of our money, whether that comes in the form of, hey, I'm staying up late tonight because I'm helping this brother or sister, I'm missing sleep. Whatever it may be, we need to give our absolute best to God. God does not want our leftovers. And I think it's going to be clear today that that's what the Bible says. But he doesn't want our leftovers. Malachi verse 10 in chapter 1. He says, oh, that one of you should shut the temple doors so that you will not, so that you would not light unless useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offerings from your hands. You know, God says here, he says that I would rather have the doors to the temple just be shut. I'd rather close down this place than have people bring me less than their best. You know, I, when I looked at this scripture, I had to ask myself, do I think like that all the time? Do I think like that? Do I think that in everything that I do, whether from my marriage to my relationship with God, to my relationship with you, to my relationship with those I'm reaching out to my family, to everything, I think, Do I always think? And the answer is no. And I want to. And this is what I want. This is part of my New Year's resolution. Is I want God to have his best, my best. And I want to give him my best. Because he says here that I'd rather just have the doors. Can you imagine that? You know, God's standing here and he's saying, hey, let's just shut the doors to this place down. And let's not let anybody in. Because I'm not getting my best. I'm not getting your best. And I know, you know, we grow up, you know, we're hearing about grace and love and grace. We've done a whole thing on grace. Yeah. This is grace. He loves us so much, but he's not going to accept anything other than our best. Mm-hmm. He wants us to love him back the way that he loves us.
Amen.
You know, and I don't think I see through the years of my 45 years of existence, I don't see a lot of people thinking about God like this, that God is going to shut the door if I don't give my best. You know, what I've seen through the years is I've seen people, even when it comes to whatever, you pick a category like singing, and like, I'm going to sing to God and I'll just, you know, and I'll give a little bit. But God wants, he wants our best. Yeah. He wants us, when we walk into the door and we come to worship him, he wants us to give it all to him.
Come on.
He doesn't want us to hold back. You know, I've been in ministries before where you hear somebody, you know, you hear the minister saying, come on, church. Come on. You guys, let have your prayer times. Come on. Please. Please. And I just don't think that's how church is supposed to be. Because as disciples, we're supposed to want to give our very best to God. We don't want to be that kind of a church that's like, please, come on, please, please be committed. Please show up to church. Please, you know, I got to call you. Please come to church, you know, because you need to be here. That's not how it needs to be. All of us, each one of us, have got to be like, I'm going to give God my very, very best. I'm going to give him everything that I have. And I think even recently as we started the house churches, I think overall, I mean, a lot of us are giving our best. This is an incredible church. And I think what Mike said earlier, I'm fired up to be here. 2014 was incredible. And the most incredible thing about 2014 was Marge and I coming here to this church and being a part of the family that we have here. It's incredible. I feel honored to be here. But we have to ask, like, even in the house churches that we just started not too long ago, do you find in your house church that people are not willing to answer a lot of questions because they're not willing to talk so much? Mm-hmm. When we come to those groups, we need to be like, this is for God. I'm giving my best. You know, and one of the things that's really kind of, I've questioned a lot is, we have times to pray together. You got all the time in the world where all of us pray, hopefully on our own. But we set up times for all of us to come together to pray. And I would say in our house churches, that's been the hardest part of the night. Because we say, let's pray. And people look at each other like, who's going to pray? And I see the leaders like, come on. And then the leader goes, okay, everybody's going to pray. We're going to pray in a circle because that way I know you have to pray. But that's not, we got to be giving our very best. Not because Mike says so, but because God, that's what he desires. He wants our very best. As we go into this new year, are you going to give your very best to God?
Come on, Mike.
Or are you going to give your seconds? We've got to give our very best. And I don't know what part of this is for you. You know, maybe it's your time. For some of us, we give seconds of our time. And we go, you know, we go, hey, I go to church on Sunday, but you know, most of my week is spent over here because I got all this schoolwork to do. Not many campus students here today, but some are. But I got all this schoolwork to do, and God, you're going to be happy about the little bit of time that I give you. Mm. Or I've got all this stuff here for my work, for my job. And God, so when I'm done with this, you know, I'll be doing stuff for you. Mm. And sometimes we even think that God's over here like, come on, like, yeah, good. Yeah, just give me a little bit more. Give me a couple more minutes. That makes me happy. Again, kind of like my dog who's just fired up to get the little scraps I throw him. You know, and maybe it's time. You know, maybe, finding time, we got schedules and entertainment and families and houses. We got all these different things. We got a car to go. I got to take it to get it. Oh, everything is time. Yeah. But I want to ask you, are you giving your best to God when it comes to time? Or are you giving him the scraps that are left over? Maybe it's money. You know, maybe you're just giving a little bit that you have. And because you don't have that much because, well, you know, I had to go out the other night. Everybody went to the movies and I had to spend that. And I need my daily coffee every day. I have to go to Starbucks. You know, God, you're just going to be happy with whatever I give you. And I don't think that's going to make God happy. You know, maybe it's in our prayer, in our reading of the Bible. You know, hey, God, I had busy week this week, you know? Don't you know, God, that I had to get up early for work this week? Yeah, I got in 15 minutes on my lunch hour. That's enough for you, right? And we just think God's going, woohoo, that's awesome. But have you ever thought that maybe God's looking down on us and saying, you know what? I want your best. I don't want the excuse to why you didn't give me the best. I just want your heart. I want it all. Because that's who God is. You know, we think God should be happy. I have a little analogy. Brought my breakfast with me today. Here's how we think about whatever it is. Let's say your time. So, I love my oranges in the morning, or tangerines, or whatever this is. Clementine. So, I go... There was a lot of hours for work right there. I just took out. There's school, study time. God, I'm sure you'll understand. That's time with my wife. Yep, gotta put that time in there. I do. Oh. Ken, he asked me to go out. We caught a movie. Yeah, that was some time right there. Oh, I had car problems this week. Oh, I had to go fix that car. You gotta understand, my house is terrible. I gotta clean it. It's a mess. You gotta understand that. I'm sure, God, you understand that. And then we get to our end of our week and we go, God, this is all I got left. Here, this is for you. Take the scraps. Take what's left over. And that, when you think about that, that's how a lot of us are in our relationship with God. You know, as we're going to start 2015, we have to ask ourselves, is this how we want our relationship with God to be? That I'm just going to give him what's left over. And somehow, in the saddest part of it all, we really think God's over here like, I got scraps. I'm so happy. But that's not how God is. God wants our very best. Are you going to give your very best in 2015? I mean, I've been a Christian for a very long time. I've seen a lot of people. They made so many different excuses why they couldn't give their best. I asked Marge, you know, can we remember some one example years back? There was this one sister. She just got baptized. She was so fired up for the Lord. Just got out of the waters of baptism. She was so excited. She started inviting her friends. She was an awesome girl. But right after she became a Christian, she got accepted into the police academy. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm saying that her life got so busy once she got entered into the academy. And so her schedule started getting really packed. And we started saying, you know, come, you know, you just made this commitment to the Lord, you know, come, you got to still have, you got to keep that commitment before anything. But she said, well, God's going to understand. This is my career. God's going to understand why I'm not giving him all this time. And little by little, she started missing church. She started having her prayer times in the car on the way to work because there was just no time. They were working so much. But she said that this is all I can give because it's all the time I have. You know, and then as time went on, we watched her little by little leave the Lord. And I'm sure she's probably still a police officer. And I'm sure in her life, money, that kind of stuff, she's probably doing okay. But the sad part of it is we had to watch her kind of leave her relationship with the Lord. And that's just not the way it should be. There is nothing in our lives that we can use as an excuse for not giving our best. Nobody forced you to get the job you have. Nobody forced you to get the education. These are things that are given to you by God as gifts. They are things that we need to treasure and go, God, you gave me this. I'm going to use this for you and only for you. I'm not going to use this situation. I'm not going to use my life is to tell you, God, why I can't give you my best anymore. We've got to give our very best in everything that we do for God. We don't want the door shut. We want to keep the doors open. You know, God would rather us not show up. He'd rather keep the doors locked than give him our leftovers. You know, why does God want our best? You ever thought about that? Why does he want our best? Let's go on and see what the scripture says in Malachi 1, verse 11. It says, my name will be great among the nations. From where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. Why does God want our best? Because he is great. He wants our best because he is the best. He wants it because his name is great. Not because of how much we think we should get from it. We should be worshiping God and giving our time and giving our money and giving our heart and giving everything that you got because he is great. And he even says there, he says, in every place incense and pure offerings will be brought to me. So in other words, he's saying, if you don't do it, somebody else is going to give their heart to me. If so, if you're not the one that's going to give your time, somebody else is going to do it. But we've got to see that the reason we worship God, the reason we're going to give our best this year is as individuals and, more importantly, as a church, because we're not individuals. We are together. We're bonded in the unity and the blood of Christ. And so we got to be thinking about why are we going to give our best as a church in 2015? Now, is it going to be so that people can come to church and like, oh, yeah, this is fun. Yeah, this, like, this was better than the concert the other night. Or is it going to be so people can feel like, I just feel so comfortable. Thank you so much for not talking to me about my sin and helping, you know, I don't want to change. You know, or is this year going to be based on the fact that God is great, that we get the privilege to worship him. We get the privilege to give him our first, to give him our best. It's an honor and a privilege to give him everything that you have. But he says here that we've got to give our best because he is great. That's the only reason to worship God. You know, it's not because of how great the fellowship is, although our fellowship is awesome. It's not because how awesome that brother or sister is that study the Bible with you. It's because Jesus died for us. Because Jesus gave us everything. And God is so incredibly great. I get to worship him. If somebody's forcing you to get up in the morning to have your quiet times, you should be ashamed. You should be ashamed of yourself, because God is great. He's greater than your sleep time. And if you can't lose an hour of sleep in the morning to get up early and have that time with the Lord, then you're not giving your best. You're not seeing God as being great. We're given our seconds. And I don't think this has anything to do. Some people will say, well, you know, how can you say this? That means that God's not going to love me. No, God loves us that much that He's going to tell us the truth, that He wants us to worship Him in a way that's right. Yeah. Malachi in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And now you priests, this warning is for you. If you do not listen, and if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you and will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not resolved to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will smear on your faces the dung from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it." I mean, this is how God viewed these people when they weren't giving their best. I mean, he says, "I'm going to smear on your faces dung." Do you guys know what dung is?
Poo.
It's poo. And God says He's going to smear that on these priests' faces. And we think, oh, how God's so loving and God's so, you know, He's so graceful. He will never do that to me. Well, He's doing it to these people. That He's showing love. He's telling them that this is not acceptable. We've got to love Him this much. This is how much God loves us. This is what it's all about. But He says there, He says he's gonna spread the dung in their face. And we think, well, this was Old Testament stuff. You know, what does this have to do with me? The Old Testament, God became such more of a loving God in the New Testament. Oh, we're so wrong. God has always been perfect in love. Yeah. He's always, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, He's always been perfect in love. God never changes. And how I know that is because when we look at the New Testament, and what these are just some examples here, you know, it says in Revelation, it says, "And He has made us to be a kingdom of priests." God has made us the priests. So back in Malachi, He was talking to the priest. Well, who are the priests today? We are the priests. And you can look at these other scriptures as well. We are the priest. And so God wants us to have the same love for Him. He wants us to see Him just as great as these priests were told to love Him. You know, here's two examples in the New Testament, you know, of how God is so serious about us putting Him first. And there's many more. But if you think about the church in Ephesus, if you ever read that story in Ephesus in Revelation, you know, here's this church that did so many incredible things. They were awesome. But they had one problem. He says, "I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." Basically, God's saying, you put me out of the number one position. That's not good. You know, we look at Matthew 7, and there's many, many more. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons? And in your name, perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" God, His love was the same in the Old Testament as it is today in the New Testament times. Exactly the same. He's calling us to give Him His best, our best. We've got to give Him our best. Yeah. Let's go and finish the story, because it does get much more encouraging at the end. And hopefully this is encouraging, because I want to have the best 2015 we can have. Amen. I want to celebrate at the end of 2015 all the miracles that I got to see God do. I want to celebrate all the things that God's done in our fellowship and our relationship. I want to celebrate all the incredible things. Amen. But we've got to know who's first, and we got to know that He is great. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty." and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines from your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. And you think about it. So here he was talking to these people. If you read Malachi, he's talking to them about time, offerings, talking to them about everything. And one of the things he talks to them about their tithes and offerings. And basically he says, if you guys don't trust me, I want you to trust me. So test me in this. If you give me your very best, if you give me everything, I'm not going to leave you hanging. Amen. He says, I'm going to prevent pests from devouring your crops. Now, I would be willing to bet that when we all read that, we go, yeah, that's cool. For these people, though, that was everything. They raised their own food. They grew their own food. He says, I'm going to protect the crops. You're going to have food. Everything. I'm going to take care of every part of your life. But give to me. That's how you'll know this. Amen. That's faith. Right. We've got to go into this year with faith. We got to know that if we give everything, yeah, you may give all your money, you may give all your time, and you might not see the return for a while. And you might start to think, well, is God really going to come through? He promises us he will come through for us. He will give us what we need. Their need back then was for their fields to have crop, right? To have food. Our needs, you might be thinking, well, if I give my money, how am I going to get more? Don't worry about that. Well, if I give my time, how am I going to make up more time in my week? Don't worry about that. If I give up my heart, well, I give everything, I might get hurt. Don't worry about that. Put all of your faith in knowing how great God is. And God will always, always return to you. Amen. It's impossible to outgive God. It is impossible for you to outgive God. As you go into this year, you might think, I need to give more to God in this way, but it's going to be a stretch. It's going to be hard. It's going to be so challenging, because if I give that time up, where am I going to get it? You got to understand my life, God. But God says, no, have faith. Trust in me. Now, you may give your money, and guess what? He might not give you money back in return. But he's going to give you something else that you actually need. God always provides our need. Just like these people needed food, he took care of their needs. God's always going to provide for your needs. And that's the encouraging part of this lesson. I want you to be encouraged by that, because we can have the most incredible year of our life that we've ever had as a church. You as an individual can have the most incredible life that you've ever, ever experienced. Your relationship with God could be at levels you never dreamed that you could have. But it's going to take us having faith and giving our very best to God and taking a chance and testing him in this, that he is going to give back in every way. He is going to give back. He's not going to make you a millionaire because you give money. That's a lie. But he's going to take care of every need that you have. It is absolutely impossible to outgive God. This year, 2015, I hope you all be with me. This is my New Year's commitment for myself. I can't make you have a commitment, but I can make myself have a commitment. But I really hope that you join me this year as we give God our best in every part of our life. And that's going to take a lot of input, a lot of help from other people around me, and it's going to take the same from you. You know, but I'm asking you today that really help us, you know, help this church, help yourself by having the best year ever. Let's put God in the number one position. Let's give him our first fruits. Let's give him our absolute best. And we'll see God do amazing things. Let's go to God in prayer as we close out, and then the singers will come up. Father, thank you so much. God, we love you with all of our heart. We're so grateful that we get to follow you. We're so grateful that you've chosen us to be here to worship you. Father, what an honor and a privilege it is to come before you and to be in a relationship with you. Father, please let my goal and let all of our goals to really give our best to you. Help us to be really successful in that this year. We know we'll fail in certain areas. We know that we'll, but you're not looking for our perfection. You're just looking for our heart. Please, God, help us to make this decision to that this will not be a service we walk out of and go, yeah, great service, and we're gone. But help this to be a day that all of us would decide that this year is going to be about giving you everything that we have, putting you number one, and giving you all of our best. Father, we love you. We ask for so many great things to happen this year. We all have different prayers. I pray that our church would grow, that we'd find more people that want to love you. Father, I pray that you'd really help each of us as individuals, God, to grow in our faith, our conviction, and love. Help the family to be bonded more in this room more than ever this year. Father, please, God, really help us to make you number one. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.